Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. And many of you, most of you, know the story. They go on in their conversation. And Nicodemus says, Well, how can I do it? How can I get this new birth? How can I be born again? And Jesus says those words that many of us can quote. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, this is how you get it, Nicodemus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul goes on to tell us that once we experience that new birth, God makes us a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And a better way to say that might be, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I want to talk to you this morning about one of those new things that God gives us when we're born again. When he makes us into that new creature. And when he makes all the old things pass away, and when he makes all things new, one of the things that we get when we get born again and we become a new creature is a new heart. A new heart. And this morning I want to talk to you about that new heart. You know, the heart is important to God. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he instructs us. He says, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He says in 1 Samuel 16, 7, he says, I don't look the same way man looks. Man looks up on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. He says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so in Ezekiel, the prophet, under the inspiration of God, says, When you get that new birth, and you become a new creature, I'm going to give you, Ezekiel says, a new heart. A new heart. A new heart. And I want to mention four things that we get a new heart for. First of all, we get a new heart for Jesus. When you get born again, and when God makes you into a new creature, he gives you a new heart for Jesus. No longer is Jesus just a curse word. No longer is he just some historical figure that we read about in the Bible. No longer is Jesus just a smart teacher. No longer is he a miracle worker. No longer is he just somebody that heals the sick and raises the dead. No longer is Jesus just a feeder of the multitudes. No longer is he just a great fisherman. No longer is he a discerner of man's thoughts and motives. No longer is he just the Creator God. No longer is he just the ever-present God. No longer is he just the all-powerful God. No longer is he just the all-knowing God. But when you get born again, and when God makes you into a new creature, and he gives you that new heart, he gives you a new heart for his Son. And in a very dear and personal way, in a very precious way, Jesus becomes the most precious and the dearest friend that you've ever had. The Bible says in John chapter 15, Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I mean, and stop and think about that verse. There has been no greater love than that. We've all heard stories about in time of war when one soldier has given his life to save his fellow soldier's life. We've heard stories of mothers in the birthing process where the doctors could save either the life of the mother or the life of the child, and the mother has decided and said, I want you to save my child. No greater love has no man than this, the Bible says, than if a man lay down his life for his friend. But Jesus went beyond that. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And when we get that new birth, and when we get made into that new creature, and when we get that new heart, with that heart we begin to understand how much God loves us. With that new heart we begin to understand how much Jesus loved us. You see, when He died for us, but we weren't good. When He died for us, we weren't righteous. When He died for us, we were vile, wicked sinners. And when we get that new heart, I think God lets us see with a new set of eyes how wicked and how terrible and how vile our sin was in His eyes. When we get that new heart, we can understand how because of that sin, we were under the curse of death, and we faced eternal separation from God in that place called hell. But that when Christ went to the cross, He took all our sins on Him, and He died on the cross, and He shed His blood, and His body was broken so that we could be made right with our God. And we can sing with the hymn writer, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear." We can sing with Philip Bliss when he wrote, "I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me." I don't know about you, but I'm glad that He does. "I am so glad that Jesus loves me." Get a new heart. When you get that new birth and you become a new creature, you get a new heart for Jesus. But you also get a new heart for His Word, for His book. No longer, when you get that new heart, is this just a book. No longer is it, as many of the little ones think right now, no longer is it just a don't do rule book. No longer is it just a history book or a health book or a science book. No longer is it just a book of poetry or a book of prophecy. No longer should it be a bookend or a dust collector. No longer should it be a book that I read just because I have to. When we get that new birth and we're made into a new creature and God gives us that new heart for this book, then it becomes a love letter from our dearest, sweetest friend. Then we can say like David did in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, I delight, I get my pleasure from this book. That's like, I think I taught on a couple Wednesday nights ago, Psalm chapter 1, where David says, "I'm going to delight in this book. This is where I'm going to get my pleasure." And I think I used the illustration of how this book should be to us like a big glass of iced tea in the middle of the summer on a hot, sultry day when we're sweating and perspiring, and when we're hot, the Bible ought to be just like a big glass of iced tea. It's our refreshment. It ought to be like a warm quilt in the middle of the winter. It ought to be where we get our pleasure and where we get our delight. Jeremiah said in chapter 15, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." David said in Psalm 19, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." Little Curtis, whenever we have request time, he always wants to sing the B-I-B-L-E. "Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E." And you know what? When God gives us our new heart, we ought to love the Bible just as much as He loves to sing that song. It ought to be where we get our fun and our pleasure, our delight. So when we get to new birth and we become a new creature, God gives us a new heart for Jesus, a new heart for His Word. He also gives us a new heart for His church, for His church. No longer is coming to church just our weekly duty. No longer is it just 2 hours of Sunday drudgery. No longer should it be something that we just endure. No longer is it form and ritual. But when we get that new heart, coming together on Sunday with God's people is like coming together with our brothers and our sisters. It's like our family reunion. It's like when you haven't seen your family for the whole year, like many of you do at Christmas time, and you get the whole family together. That's when we get that new birth and God gives us a new heart. That's what coming to church should be like. That's what we should look forward to it as, getting to see our brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowshipping together. We come for encouragement. We come for comfort. We come for strength and for instruction. We come to get skinned, and we like it. You can say amen to that. We come to get our toes stepped on, and we like it. We come to get stirred up, to keep serving our God. And we ought always at this place to be true to our name, fellowship. Fellowship. We sing that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and I've often thought how it applies and how it should apply to our church. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Yes, we get it by leaning on the everlasting arms, but we get it as we come together as a church. Fellowship. Fellowship mates. Folks in the same boat that are rowing together and working together, headed for the same destination, with the same goals and the same priorities. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So God, when He makes us into that new creature and He gives us a new heart, He gives us a new heart for His Son. He gives us a new heart for His Word. He gives us a new heart for His church. And then number four, He gives us a new heart for others. For others. No longer is it just a neighbor. No longer is it just a schoolmate. No longer is it just a coworker. No longer is it just a mom. No longer is it just a dad. No longer is it just a child, a son or a daughter, or an aunt and an uncle. When we get that new heart, we see every person we know as an immortal soul. We see every person we know that has a soul that's going to go somewhere for eternity and live. That's either going to go to heaven and spend eternity in the presence of God, or is going to go to hell and spend eternity apart from God. And you know what? We have the answer. We have the difference, as Shannon sung about a moment ago. People need the Lord. That's what makes the difference between heaven and hell. That's what makes the difference between where they're going to spend the eternity. We have the answer. And when we get that new birth and God makes us into a new creature and He gives us that new heart, we see every person we know as a soul that has to go somewhere. Psalm 126, verse 6, the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. You know why that person goes forth and weepeth? You know the verse, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, bearing this book, bearing the gospel. You know why that person goeth forth and weepeth? Because he knows that unless the seed is sown, and unless that soul accepts the love that Christ offers to them on the cross, that person is going to hell. And so they weep. They weep. But praise God, the promise in that verse is true. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, leading other people to Christ. God says, when you experience the new birth and you become a new creature, he said in Ezekiel, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new heart for my son. I'm going to give you a new heart for my book. I'm going to give you a new heart for my church. And I'm going to give you a new heart for others. Now, I wish I could stand this morning and say, once we get that new heart, it lasts forever. Don't take me wrong. Our salvation lasts forever. Our going to heaven lasts forever. But sometimes that new heart doesn't last forever. I wish I could stand this morning and tell you, once you get that new heart for Jesus and that new heart for His book and the new heart for His church and the new heart for other, it never changes. It always stays focused as it was when you were first born again. But unfortunately, the old nature, the sin nature, is still around. And oftentimes sin and oftentimes neglect get in and work on that new heart, and it becomes hardened. If we're not careful, we'll end up like the church in Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, God said, Jesus talking to them, he says, "Nevertheless," and he talked about all their good works, all the good things they did. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love." If we're not careful, we'll end up like the church at Laodicea, who Jesus talks to in Revelation chapter 3, where he says, "I know thy works." And he talked about their works, and they were full of good works. But he says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." If we're not careful, with that new heart, we'll end up like David. You remember David, the man, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart? A man who had a heart close to God, who let sin rule in his life. And in Psalm 51, he had to pray, "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a new heart. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." There may be one or more here this morning, you've never experienced the new birth. You never have become a new creature. You never have got that new heart first time. You need to get it this morning. And you get that new birth just like Jesus told Nicodemus. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. You believe in Christ. You believe that when he died on the cross, he was dying to pay for your sins. And all you do is receive it, just like a Christmas gift. You just receive it. So if you're here this morning, you've never got that new heart, I invite you to come get one. God has one for you. He'll give it to you. Many of us here, in fact, the majority of us, most of us here this morning, we've already experienced the new birth. We've been made into new creatures. And we've been given that new heart. But I wonder if we were honest with ourselves, how many of us would have to say, "My new heart's been hardened. I've left my first love. I need to get hot again." I wonder how many of us would have to pray like David, "Lord, I need you to create in me all over again a new heart." We might need to say this morning, "Give me back again a new heart for Jesus. Give me a new heart again for him." I think the way you get that new heart back is you come back to Calvary. I think that's, and I know, that's why we have Lord's Supper. It's a reminder to us. And as Jesus said, he knew we were going to need it. He knew that we were going to have to keep coming back and focusing on what he did for us on Calvary to keep our hearts stirred up for him. So he says, I'm going to give you the Lord's Supper. And every time you hold that little wafer, you remember how my body was broken for you. And every time you hold that little cup of juice, you remember how my blood was shed for you. You come back to Calvary this morning. You remember what Jesus did on Calvary. That'll get that heart, new heart stirred up again. Randy, during the Lord's Supper, prayed a song, "The Old Rugged Cross." We need to sing that song. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to it, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. Some of us might have to say, "Lord, I need you to give me back again a new heart for your word. It's become boring to me. It's become dry to me. It's become a duty to me to read it. I don't want it to be like that. Give me back again a new heart for your word." Some might need to come this morning and say, "Give me a new heart again, Lord, for your church. I remember when I was first saved, I just couldn't wait to come to this place to get together with the family. Now I come because I know I'm supposed to. Lord, would you give me back a new heart for getting together with your people?" And I wonder how many of us would have to say this morning, "Lord, I need a new heart again for others. For others. Would you let me see that they do need you? And would you let me see that I have the key to heaven and I can give it to them?" Ezekiel says, under the inspiration of God, "A new heart I will give unto you." Do you have one this morning? Is it still as new as it was when you first got born again, when you first met Jesus as your Savior? If not, why not come this morning and pray that prayer like David did? Lord, create in me a new heart. Father, I pray. And thank you.